welcome to the weekend and welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee. I'm the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus and glad to have you with me today. We are beginning our series through the Song of Solomon that we are calling Love Songs. And it really is kind of the Song of Songs, if you would, the way it's referred to. And I'm really excited to kind of see what God would have to say to instruct us, how we think about marriage and the way God designed, dating the way God designed, attraction, sex, intimacy, I think longevity, leaving a legacy. There's so many incredible themes that we're going to be able to talk about through this series. And we're stepping into a book of the Bible that many of us are honestly probably unfamiliar with because there's a little bit of an allure with it. It's kind of strange. It feels very, it can be intense at times. And so we're just not quite sure what to think of it. And so so let me just set the scene a little bit, and then I'll kind of share a little bit of what I talked about this past Sunday. But in preparing for this series, I just found a really helpful kind of way to think about this book of the Bible. And so if you're thinking about it, think of it from the standpoint of guideposts. You know, as you're kind of walking along, or maybe you're taking a trail, there are posts, right, that kind of help guide you as you're going along, that you're moving in the right direction, or help you get an idea of where you're at. And so here were really four helpful guideposts, and it's kind of in one sentence. This is a song about human love found in the Bible, written to give us wisdom. So if you just unpack that for just a moment to help us, the first one, right? This is a song. And it's important to remember that the Bible was written in genres, and it had literary attributes and characteristics. And so the way that we read the Gospel of Luke is different than, say, we read the Psalms. And maybe the way we read Proverbs is different than we would read Exodus. And so not that either one of them is more true or less true, but the way that they're written in a certain literary style. And so it's really helpful for us as we think about how we read the Bible is what kind of genre are we reading. And so this is a song. It was written poetically. It was meant to kind of describe things that were going on. And so there's some languages that Solomon uses as he describes things. And so it's helpful for us to remember this is a song. And the second guidepost is it's about human love. The kind of the essence, the what the song is about human love in the context of marriage. And so the Bible would not celebrate the things that we read about in Song of Solomon if it were not in the context of marriage. And so I think as we talk about attraction, we talk about intimacy, we talked about just those realities of physical attraction, that helping us understand the context that this is about love in the context of marriage helps us understand that what this song is celebrating isn't just sexuality and attraction and dating and those kind. It's really celebrating there's a design that God had when he made, in essence, us. And he made us in a way that we could understand what really love is best expressed in the context of. And the third guidepost is that it's found in the Bible. Right. And so as we walk through this, as we read this, we're going to see that this is found in a theological book called the Bible. That the Bible is written not just so that we know how to live, but so that we can know the God who made us and created us. And so that is really significant for us, because if we read this outside of the Bible, we might get some helpful ideas and things about how we should pursue people and how we should live our lives. But knowing that it's in the Bible helps us understand that ultimately it's pointing us to Jesus, that it's a reality that this is trying to help draw our eyes to our Savior. And so I think of, C.S. Lewis in his books, The Chronicles of Narnia, right? If you've ever familiar with those books or even the movies, one of the things that we see is that the main character, Aslan, if you could just read that and think, man, he is a hero. He sacrifices. He's full of wisdom. He comes back to life. What an incredible story. But if we forget that C.S. Lewis was a Christian, that he wrote Narnia to try to help us have a kind of a creative display of Jesus in this story, it shapes the rest of how we understand those books and those movies. And so the same is true about this, is that it is found in the Bible. And so that helps us understand. And then the last guidepost is that it was written to give us wisdom, that this is in the wisdom collection. So it's helping us understand, how do we live out God's will in God's world? In essence, how do we live God's way in God's world? And as we walk through this, Solomon is trying to give us some insights and things that he has learned as he shapes us and tells us, hey, I want you to think about this when it comes to how you live your life in terms of around love and what you pursue. So I think that's a really helpful thing for us as we begin this together, is that this is a song about human love found in the Bible, written to give us wisdom. And just real quickly, this past Sunday, I talked about how God's love, God's design for love, it shapes what we find beautiful. That what you and I look at and find attractive, or we are drawn to, that really what we want to see in this first setting of the book is that God designed love to shape, to help inform how you and I see and think about things that are beautiful. And the first thing is it shapes our attractions, right? God teaches us what should draw our hearts, that we should be drawn to things more than just external characteristics, right? That attraction is good when it is directed in the right way. And that shallow attraction cannot sustain deep love. That healthy marriages keep learning and delighting in what God says is beautiful. Right? That we don't just look for chemistry without character, that we're not just attracted without wisdom, that we don't just have beauty but forget godliness, that we don't just give into our desires and neglect this covenantal love that God has. Secondly, it shapes what we find beautiful, right? God gets to redefine what makes someone truly beautiful. That the woman in this first part, she's insecure because she feels dark. She's outside working, right? That she's not able to keep care of her own body the way that she would like. But we see there's an incredibly strong worth ethic. That this woman's beauty isn't just external and how she looks, but it's internal, who she is and what she values. Because we live in a world that teaches us to admire what fades while God values what lasts, right? Think of Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And then lastly, we talked about how God's love shapes our standards, that God shows us what kind of love is actually worthy of pursuit, that what we see in the desire of this woman is this shepherd king leader who's present, protective, guiding, who's trustworthy. You see, because our standards determine what we pursue and what we permit. You see, our standards, what we hold ourselves to, the kind of standards in our relationships and our friendships and our marriage determine what we're going to pursue and what we are going to permit. And so remember, as we looked at this past Sunday, that God's design for love shapes what we find beautiful. And so just let that kind of shape how you and I begin to live our lives this week. So let's take some time. Let's pray and ask God to continue to shape our lives, what we see and how we want to live. God, thanks so much for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us, God, to see incredible wisdom from this book. God, give us understanding. Help us to see what is good, what is beautiful from your eyes and not just our own, God, because we love you and we want our love life to be reflected in what you designed to be good. We pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take a moment? Why don't you pray?